If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is experiencing your inner realms. So tonight we'll be taking a multidimensional tour through the spiritual realms within your own inner consciousness. To begin with, bear in mind that we live in a holographic universe in which all things are contained within us, within you. Everything that exists can be tapped and accessed and must be accessed from within. You know, we're all taught that the kingdom of heaven is within and that we must go within and know the self. But very often we're given very scanty information about how exactly to do that. So in these series of radio seminars in which I am speaking to the ground-based volunteers who are here from a myriad of worlds and dimensions to be of service in the Earth's ascension, I would like to really begin more and more to empower you to go within for everything that you need to know, to integrate, to become aware of, so that you don't have to outsource. You don't have to go to another to validate your beingness, but that you can become divinely illumined and made aware of your own inner treasure house. And the way this differs from perhaps a guided imagery or guided meditation that you might have done in the past is that you will be an active participant in this process. So rather than calling it meditation, let's call it a spiritual exercise. And in the exercising of your inner awareness, you will find that you begin to create corridors of familiar approach to the spiritual realms and levels within you. You pave a highway, as it were, with your intention, with your energy extension, with your desire to inquire more deeply into the self. I truly believe that any time you set your intention to know something, and that is congruent with all levels of your being, in other words, it comes out very sincerely from your innermost being, I truly believe that that signifies your readiness for certain information to be imparted to you, and that that very information then becomes available. It's important in spiritual realms not to be needy and greedy. If you push at spiritual energy, you will find that it resists you and flees from you. I think most anything that you try to snatch or grab or in some way possess forcefully tends to flee, you know, from you. All animals will flee from a person that does that. All children. It just seems to be endemic in creation itself that we like to hang out with energies that are calm and centered and balanced and somewhat cool with us. So gotta hang cool as you approach the very rapidly coruscating energies of spirit. You're entering into a very dynamic realm. So enter in, slip in like a really skilled diver can dive off that high diving board and make a very slight splash in the water. Whereas a more amateur spirit swimmer will sort of make a belly flop and splash the water all over the place. So learn how to dive deep into the self with very little splash as you enter that surface. Kind of just slide in very gently. And you will find that beautiful, beautiful things begin to open up and become available to you. And you'll have a whole new life. So in the exercising of your spiritual faculties. You have seeing, hearing, sensing, and intuitive knowing. But to enter a realm, you must match the vibrational quality of that realm. That's how you enter any particular environment on the inner realms, is that you match it with your frequency. That's why to come to God, to come to the highest realms, you must be of the quality and vibration of unconditional divine love. That's what weds you and merges you with the divine quality of divinity. So seeing and hearing spiritually involves a very subtle shift of awareness and learning how to discern spiritual energies. You have 5 outer senses matched by 5 inner senses, which are, once you get used to operating in them, every bit as vivid as your outer senses. They're just perceived and experienced in a more subtle manner. So be aware, as we're working this evening, that you stay attentive, but don't grab with your mind trying to understand. Just let the information bring you into a state of relaxed reverie. Just cruise along with my voice and with the content. And later on, if you want to really study it, you can download the archive and you know, transcribe it or whatever. But while we're doing our process, just hang cool with me and begin to intend into the vision that I present. Bear in mind that each person has their own inner tapestry, their own geography, their own soulscape, if you will, that is made up of their experiential forays in this and a myriad of lifetimes. Who knows, you might have been from the fairy kingdom. You might have been a nature spirit or a flower deva or a water sprite or an angel or any number of those things, or an extraterrestrial or the lord of a planet. Who knows what positions you may occupy within the interdimensional realms. So naturally, as you come from a particular lineage of approach or manifestation, most frequently, that will become your way of least resistance. So allow for your own unique individual soulscape to be presented to you. And bear in mind that no two souls are identical, and no two, that is to say, consciousness matrices. Everyone is unique. So there's no comparison, there's no greater or lesser. There simply is becoming acquainted and familiar with your own particular topography of spirit. So the realm closest to the earth, the realms, I should say, are conditioned energy fields, which means that they are forms that have been precipitated, projected, and manifested by human imagination, emotion, thinking, all of the things that come out of our human dynamic of believing that we're separate from Source. We, in fact, are the ones that have actually created what is called the emotional plane of the astral and the mental plane. That is the mental realm that we will be exploring tonight. And the causal realm, which is the seedbed of our karmic lessons. So as we go into those realms, you will be seeing, ultimately and eventually, your own creations. In fact, I've often said that you will never meet anything inwardly or outwardly that is not the self that you are, with a capital S, that's the spirit self, the divine self. Everything that you meet is something that you have imagined into or in some way energetically fostered into your environment. That way you don't ever need to be afraid. You also have authority on the inner realms at any point to say stop. And the environment must obey you, because remember, you're a child of the King of Kings. You are a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Moreover, you're an extension of God. So everything in creation must obey you. And since you are the creator of your inner realms, you will have the authority to say what manifests and what doesn't manifest. Some of you might have had, fortuitously so, you might have had training in lucid dreaming. This is excellent training, where you learn to stop a dream in process. You learn to change the dynamics of the dream. You learn to turn it from black and white to color and color to black and white. In other words, you begin to exercise your creative potential within the dream field itself. And this is often something that souls will study. If you want to learn something like that, you would get some good dream books and begin to keep note of your dreams, get a good book on lucid dreaming, and begin to work in that realm. That's usually the very first place that you're taught by a spiritual traveler how to operate in the other than physical state. So, and it's not mandatory that you do that. It's not mandatory to be conscious in the inner realms. Some people just let the Lord pick them up and carry them across the threshold to the magic kingdom of soul. And others, I'm one of those souls. I like to see where I'm going. I like to know that I have some say in what I'm experiencing, but I'm very, very inquisitive, and I want to know what and how it operates and how I can work as a co-creative agency within my own environment. So many of you listening to the show tonight probably are of the same ilk, so you will enjoy our journey tonight. So we are going to now be moving in our spiritual inner awareness, so you're quite safe. You're not going to be popping out of your body and doing something weird and psychic. You're moving your spiritual inner attentiveness to different viewpoints. If you look at it that way, it's not so daunting. You're choosing to shift to a different perspective of how you're looking inwardly. And you're going to change your environment by shifting your attention. As you do that, you'll have a sense of movement, which are the actual atoms rearranging themselves to accommodate your picture of reality that you're presenting with your intention. That is giving the sensation of what has been termed soul travel or soul transcendence. And that's all it is. It's just changing that inner perspective. Now, most of us have very busy lifetimes, very, very elaborate distractive mechanisms going on in our environment. There's phones and cell phones and all of the things today that we have available, which actually inhibit our quiet time. So it's important, if you really are serious about learning how to go within and have your own experience, is to create a period of time. You don't have to be real ritualistic about it, but create a little bit of time in which you're totally still with yourself. Just be still with yourself, and you can practice some of these techniques. And then, get a notebook and note down your experiences and begin to empower the knowledge and knowing and illumination that everybody has to some degree. So we are going to be taking a deep breath now and bringing in that cosmic prana, relaxing. And when you're doing spiritual exercises, it's a good idea to park your body in a comfortable place that you can forget all about it. Loungers are good. Do try not to fall asleep tonight. Later on when you practice soul travel, you may indeed lose consciousness and fall asleep. Sometimes that's a good thing, because the spiritual masters will take you and work you through things that you don't need to be aware of in the conscious self. But tonight, since we're in a training session, try to stay with me as best you can. And that's usually best by keeping your eyes open. I find if I close my eyes even for a second, I'm gone. So some people meditate better with their eyes half open or at least unfocused in a reverie state and somewhat open. So as there are conditioned realms that are part of the human projection, bear in mind that there's also divine realms that are unconditioned. where only the divine light and sound of God exist. And there's very, very few saints and yogis and adepts that have ever entered these realms, except for those strange adepts that are called the mystical travelers or the spiritual travelers. And these are the ones that I have spoken about on a number of shows, because I'm personally on that lineage myself. And so part of what I'm sharing tonight is based on my own experience and my own training. And you can make it your own by making it your own. So you're comfortable now and relax. And ask that the light of the Christ and the light of the Holy Spirit fill, surround, and protect you, and guide and direct you in any way that would be for your highest good this evening. You'll be taking this journey again in your inner witness or soul body, so you're perfectly safe and perfectly protected. The realms, bear in mind, blend very subtly one into another and are not clearly defined. They're not stacked like pancakes. They don't have signs indicating soul realm to the left or the right. In fact, you live in a multidimensional conglomerate of all the realms, even as you sit wherever it is you're sitting. You're always present everywhere. The only thing that determines which realm that you're in is where you as a spirit are focused. Now, that can be very different from where your physical human self is focused. For example, you could be standing at the kitchen washing the evening dishes. All the while, as a spiritual entity, you could be up in the Ashtar command ships. You could be working in another planetary system, another galaxy, another universe. You could be occupying more than one body at the same time if you're really far advanced in the initiation processes. You could be doing any number of things. All the while, you seem to be standing in the kitchen doing dishes. So begin to get used to yourself in multitasking in the inner realms, even while you live your daily life and raise your children, do your jobs, commute to work, whatever. You have a whole other realm of service and life that is far more real and far more significant in many ways than your daily coming and going. This also accounts sometimes for the strange phenomena you'll have of missing time, or suddenly you arrive at a destination and don't remember how you got there. There are many, many strange things that happen as we begin to slip more easily into multidimensional awareness, but haven't yet become familiar with how to determine when we're doing that. Our shows are highly activational. As I've told you before, my voice is encoded to activate and decode and awaken those light and sound codes that are the matrix of your divine function, your divine blueprint. So as you do the work with us and as you listen to the vocal patterning that comes from the Ashtar Command through this instrument, you'll begin to have certain epiphany moments when you suddenly become aware of things that you've already known, things that will suddenly percolate to the top of your awareness, and you go, wow, I knew that. That sounds so familiar. Somewhere within me, I can relate to this experience. So be prepared for things like that. So the realms that we're moving into are identified energetically by a sound and visually by a color. Now, I have found that the descriptions of the sounds of the inner realms really don't match my particular experience. I haven't always heard the sounds exactly as they have been taught by many of my teachers, and maybe you won't either, so don't make yourself wrong if you don't hear the sounds exactly as they're described, or if you don't see the colors exactly as they're described. For example, since you operate on all the levels, at all times, as a multidimensional holographic being, as part of God, it's quite conceivable that you could be on a different plane of consciousness when you're trying to go, like pancakes, through the levels, from the astral to the causal to the mental to the etheric to the soul. But what if you closed your eyes and bam, you're in the soul? Or you close your eyes and bam, you're in the causal realm. Or you close your eyes and bam, you're in the etheric realm. So it's best to have a very neutral observer position when you go within yourself. Just look to see what's there and don't make a big deal out of whatever is there or not there. Just allow spirit to woo you and court you and reveal itself to you however it will. So you'll notice when you go into the astral realm that you begin to see, let's start with the physical, because I think many of you probably have had this experience already. The physical realm is characterized by the color green or red. Sometimes when you close your eyes and you look behind your eyelids, behind your forehead, at the just the inside of your head, usually most people just see black, nothing. After a while, they might be aware of some energy. Some people might see an eye or a golden or a blue or a purple disc appear. There's all sorts of variations. But some people see red. And when you see red, that's an indication that you're tapped into the physical vitality of the physical body. Then you may see green. When you're traveling in your soul body, in the physical realm, you'll be out of body but still in the physical dimension. You'll have the sensation like Peter Pan and Wendy. you'll have the sensation of traveling over landscapes. You'll see mountains and hills and fields and color and cities. You'll have a very earthly experience. And then as you go into the astral plane, the sound of the earth level is like distant rolling thunder, which then begins to give way to a soft pink color. It's like watching the dawn suddenly come, or maybe just the first hint of sunset. It's a delicate pink. And with that will come several variations of the sound current. Remember, the sound is the living word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and all things were created from the Word. That's the sound current. And that is the Word of God that dwells within you, that you can hear. And it serves as a guiding, homey device to guide you on your way home in consciousness. So the thunder, the deep rolling thunder of the physical realm, gives way to what sometimes sounds like the surf rolling, like the gentle waves of the surf rolling in and out. It also can sound like the conch shell, like the hunas would blow the conch, or if you go to India, the pujaris would blow the conch. That symbolizes entering into that astral realm. Or you may have, those are primarily the sounds that that identify the astral. But the astral realm is ginormous. It is about two times the size of the physical realm. So the first thing you notice is that everything is big. The forms are big. The houses are big. Everything is huge. And yet at the same token, it's very similar to Earth, because Earth is actually a reflection of the astral plane. Now, as we go through the ascension process, what we're actually doing is a physical ascension into what has been called the astral plane. So we're actually merging into that plane, and that's why there's so many unusual things that are appearing now on the surface of the planet. Things that maybe we thought were mythological before, we're finding actually exist on the inner planes, like the unicorn, for example. I know you're happy as I am to learn that the unicorn is quite real. And the fairies and the gnomes and the salamanders and all of the wonderful nature spirits, the gnomes and the trolls, and different manifestations of life, the extraterrestrials. There's many extraterrestrial races in the astral plane, the kind that have the nuts and bolts spaceships. Most of them live in what's called the second heaven or the astral. Astral means starry. So sometimes when you enter that realm, the first thing you will see is a starry sky inwardly in your third eye. Sometimes it feels like you're going through a tunnel into what looks like a silo with a starry sky at the end that's open. Or you sometimes just move into that pink kind of dawn-like color. So watch and see how it manifests to you. That tube that people speak of when they go through the near-death experience, that's that passage from the physical into the astral realms. And it's very much like a birth canal into this next level of life. Now, as you move into this realm, you're going to be seeing the things that you've placed in there. I suppose quite a few of you may have seen the movie What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams. If you haven't seen it, I suggest you rent it and give it a good view, because I think it depicts the astral realm really rather well. And it gives you a sense of the unlimited creative potential you have to mold your experience in that level. Literally, anything that you imagine appears. And you also meet your fantasies and your imaginings that you placed there before. Because basically you're entering into your own imaginative realm, the realm that you have peopled with your own inner processes. All of the realms beneath soul are duality-based, so you'll have a negative and a positive in all these realms. And when you are working on a spiritual path, generally your spiritual master only takes you on an inventory type of tour to the negative realm, so that you're experiencing all of the realms, but you're not endangered in any way. Many people have mentioned being taken into all these different heaven worlds and hell worlds and different realms. And that's part of the tour, because certain souls have in fact created hellacious inner realms through addictive patterns, through abusing other people, through doing negative deeds. And they do indeed encounter their miscreations. Grace, when you walk with the Christ and you've given your life over fully to the higher Christed energies, you're protected from going into those realms. But if you're just kind of winging it on your own and you haven't really come with a repentant heart to the Lord at any time, you're likely to bump into some of these negative creations and have to work through them on your own. So it pays to go with the Lord. It pays to take the hand of Jesus and walk with him all the way home to the Father. In fact, fly with him all the way home to the Father. And that's a much safer path. So as you explore the astral realm, and I think probably that's most interesting of all the realms to explore, because it so closely matches the physical earth, and you have more control there than any place else because we spend so much time in the astral. Generally, in the past, souls that have been locked into the karma and reincarnation cycles, they generally go right into that loop that loops them into the astral, and then they recycle right back into the physical. Two good books I could recommend that describe the astral worlds, which in Buddhism are called bardos, is the Tibetan Book of the Dead. And the book that was based on the Tibetan Book of the Dead by Timothy Leary, which was called The Psychedelic Experience. Now, I do not recommend any kind of psychedelic exploration. That's not the way to go to God. But many people have had that experience in the past, and those of you that have know what it is to trip on drugs. When you trip on drugs or become excessively intoxicated, you actually are entering into the astral realm. That's why the proverbial pink elephants are there, or whatever, or the bad trip, or the spiders crawling on the wall. These are all manifestations of the astral plane in its negative state. So stay conscious and present and in control of your faculties. Don't get drunk. Don't take drugs and try to mess with your consciousness, because that is what prevents you from having authentic experiences, and moreover, it locks you into the astral plane and really densifies those walls that form the astral body. So it makes it just that much more difficult to get beyond that realm and into the real realms that you really want to get into. So you will see these very, very interesting things as you travel on the inner realms, and you notice that people who are locked into addictive patterns, they can't see you or see beyond whatever it is that they have placed as the idol that they have devoted their life to being involved with. Whether the idol was a bottle of liquor or whatever, you'll find that they're locked in their own addictive pattern. And that's called working through that bardo or that karmic field until finally they have either been delivered from it by grace, by the Lord, or they have learned their lesson and transcended beyond that realm. Each plane has spiritual teachers and guides and angels and devic forms that work with souls in that level. You have souls that work over the battlefield, angels, if you will, and invisible helpers that work with souls when they cross over from the process we call death. And the souls that are also passing in and out when they sleep. When you sleep, you go through the astral plane. Even if you're on your way to the higher realms, you always pass through the astral. Sometimes you come down from a very high plane, and you have a very beautiful experience, and then you pass through the astral realm, and it gets all muddied and distorted. So you have partial memory, kind of distorted and mixed with other things. In fact, the astral plane is usually where you have the most vivid dreams. It's also where you have the kind of dreams where forms morph. You know, the rabbit becomes a bear, and the bear becomes a tiger, and the tiger chases you, and, you know, all that sort of thing. When you're in the higher divine realms, generally, you're very much like you are here. You're aware of what you are and who you are and your work and your mission, and you behave exactly there as you do here, perhaps with a little greater freedom, but I find that I'm pretty much the same. When I'm on the inner planes as I am here in the physical, doing the same work and having the same type of teaching. And you may find that's true for yourself as well. So enjoy the astral realm. It's very, very fun to explore. Do a little bit of research on it. I also highly recommend any of the books by Charles Ledbetter and Annie Besant. And those of you who are deeper scholars of esotericism, you can study Alice Bailey. These are all excellent books on understanding the realms. Charles Ledbetter, one of the heads of the Theosophical Society, was a wonderful esoteric clairvoyant. And he writes from his own clairvoyancy. Annie Besant was as well, both trained initiates, working with the masters Kutumi and Moria. So, and Joal Kul, many of you know the Tibetan master. These masters work very closely in training the disciples and initiates that are evolving on Earth at this time. So they have books about the astral plane, the common monastic plane, the mental plane, the auric fields. So if you really want to study these things, you can go online and Google the Theosophical Society and the Quest books that they have. That's called Quest, Q-U-E-S-T. And you'll find a whole bunch of information that would be useful for you. So some areas on the astral plane are intensely vivid. All the psychedelic colors that came out in the 60s, the hippie generation, were generated because of visions that people had when they were under the influence of drugs. And they actually saw these pretty colorful patterns. We can thank the 60s for our tie-dyes and all of our beautiful colors. It seemed like the world was kind of drab before the 60s, and then all of a sudden, everything became colorful and beautiful. And grotesque. There were grotesqueries. Remember the head shops and all the weird paraphernalia of the 60s and 70s and 80s? Well, if you don't, I sure do. And so you have that element. But you also have very wonderful things, too, in the astral plane. I've tended to have wonderful experiences. There's a big high-rise office building, for example, where the spiritual travelers meet. And they have their offices there, and very often you'll have appointments with the master, and he will tell you to meet him on a corner in the astral plane, and he takes you to this big office building. Some of you may even find you have an office there. There are some interesting things to be found on the astral plane. You'll find that most of the space commands, including the Ashtar command, have bases on the astral as well as other levels. We're multidimensional too. We have, let's say, fleets within the Ashtar command that are assigned different areas in the astral and the mental and the causal and the etheric and the soul. We're even up into the soul realm, although there you do not need a spaceship any more than angels do. But you will find that you have work on all of these levels that you may be involved with. And so, if you want to find out what you're involved with, ask for the light, and if it's for your highest good, ask to be shown. Then place yourself in your imagination in the astral plane. Now hear the conch shell, see the soft pink color, see the waves, see yourself standing on a seashore, maybe next to a nice native shaman blowing his conch. Just be there, see the beautiful, beautiful colors and all the pastels around you, and ask to be shown what work that you do on the inner planes, and or in that particular dimension. You may have many jobs in that dimension. So pick an area. Let's pick the space command in the astral realm and see if you have something that you're doing in the astral realm with the command, or working with people as they heal their bodies or whatever. You may find all sorts of things that you're involved with. So the astral plane is basically the plane of imagination. So all your fantasies are encountered here. All of them. Yeah, all of them. So be careful what you create, because you may meet it face-to-face at some point. This is also Nightmare Alley. Oh, yeah. So there are some pretty hellacious things here, too. In fact, the hell worlds and the purgatorial worlds and all these things that some people mention encountering are also located on the lower levels of the astral plane. So bear in mind that every planet has the same levels. It has the, the physical, and most planets in our solar system are devoid of life right now. But you still have the astral, the mental, the causal, the etheric, and the soul levels represented on every planetary world. So these realms include all of the worlds and all of the universes within creation. So as you move into the next level, you're moving into what's called the plane of the emotions, or the causal plane. And that you begin to see the pink begins to go into shades of deeper coral and saffron and ochre and orange. Again, it looks like a sunset or a sunrise that's deepening that you go into. And the sound at that level, usually in the higher levels of the astral, you begin to hear gongs and bells and tinkling of bells. And that kind of begins to morph into more of a tinkling of wind chimes, which is a characteristic sound that you often hear on the causal plane. You can also hear the twittering of birds, or the sound like insects make on a hot summer night. Sounds like that. And this, again, is the plane of emotional feelings. So you will encounter your emotions here. I'm sure most of you have had dreams where you've awakened and you found yourself sobbing and your pillow's wet, and maybe you don't remember specifically why, but you're just sobbing your little heart out. That's usually an experience where you're working through emotional karma on the causal plane. The causal plane is also very vivid in terms of experience. You will see very quasi-solid forms in houses and buildings and people and situations, romantic situations, situations where you may be expressing anger, any kind of an emotion. And this is the place where you would travel with your master if you wanted to view your past lives or see the seeds of karma that you're carrying in this lifetime that you're supposed to cook, work through. So this is the place to come to when you want past life information. There's the Akashic records on both the astral and the higher level of Akashic on the causal plane. So many psychics and readers will pick up records and information pertaining to your earth lives on these two planes. When you are a student and an initiate of the spiritual lineage of travelers, you are taken on tours within these levels in a bubble of protection. You might find yourself in a golden bubble or a purple bubble, and you can also visualize that around yourself or a white bubble. And you're able to view and enjoy everything from a very safe space. So there are many, many planets and worlds in the astral and causal realms, and they have contrasting qualities, both positive and negative, and everything has its imitation or its reflection and duplicate on these planes. So the really devotional experiences you have as a devotee of the Lord are also very much part of the causal plane. Personally, I've had the most incredible experiences with Krishna and Jesus and Mary and the different masters and yogis. I believe Siddha Loka probably is on the causal realm, because I've seen beautiful, beautiful heavenly realms and heavenly planets within the causal dimension. So you can have very, very devotional, wonderful, exalted experiences with God. I believe that Swami Muktananda may have been speaking about this plane when he was speaking in The Play of Consciousness, his wonderful book, The Play of Consciousness, in which he described his own spiritual practice and awakening. It's a wonderful book if you haven't read it. And this is a realm also that you may encounter beautiful angels and fairies and nature spirits and the mythological types of creatures, like in the Chronicles of Narnia, beings like that would be found in the astral and the causal realms. Very, very beautiful. Now watch how you subtly begin to shift into the next level. The next level will be the mental plane. And you begin to see that sunlight, sunset type of quality merge into a clear sky blue. And this clear sky blue is the mental realm. And it is characterized by the sound of running water, which can be everything from a babbling brook to water running in a sink to a waterfall. The Bible describes the voice of God as the sound of many waters. So you have something of an idea of the sound current there. And it's very, very subtle and very soothing and very beautiful. So the mental plane is the plane where people are engaged in deep inquiry, study, research. There's vast libraries there where the information not only of Earth, the wisdoms of Earth, but the wisdoms of the cosmos, the universe, other planetary systems. Everything is there. Huge, huge museums where all the root races and the globes of life on the different planetary worlds are represented there, and vast dioramas of the evolutionary process in the different worlds. And you'll find scholars that souls in between lifetimes will go there and say, for example, let's take Einstein, for example. His way of bringing through information was to lie down and take a power nap. And what he would do was he would go out of his physical body up into the astral library or the causal library or the mental library, because there's information on each level. And probably he would go to the mental plane library and tap information there and then bring it back down, and that would be the answer to some equation he was working on. So souls will go there to prepare for lifetimes in which they're going to be inventors, or they're going to be research scientists or bring through some medical breakthrough or something of that nature. And people who have that spirit of great, deep interest in inquiry will be found there between lifetimes and also after they depart finally and they are liberated souls. Sometimes they continue to work there and they will generate massive thought forms and then project them to their disciples, if they're masters, or to their group soul, so that that information can be tapped, can be made tangible enough in a thought manifest that others on the earth can tune in, tap that energy, and precipitate it down into the physical. So it's safe to say that everything that's created comes topside down. Everything is precipitated from a higher level down into the earth, and it comes through human instruments on this level, and that's where it finally sees the light of day. So you have, I love the mental plane. It is so fun to go there. I love to go through the museums and the libraries and to study the different things. I love to go forward and backward in time and to enter the different time cells and find myself in different incarnations and different times, forward and backward, and see what I'm doing, see what I'm learning, see the lifetimes I've lived and the things that I've been involved with. It is so much fun when you don't identify with your lower self any longer, but you realize that you're this great, great conglomerate of personas. And it's ever so fun, ever so enjoyable. So here is your beautiful mental plane. And it's entered by a blue dot. Muktananda called it the blue pearl. So often you'll see a blue something, a blue star, a blue dot, a blue something in your third eye. And that lets you know you're in the mental plane. So each realm has also a divine manifestation of the one God who takes an embodiment as the Lord in charge of that realm. So you've got the physical Lord, you've got the astral Lord, you've got the mental Lord, the physical Lord, the etheric Lord, and the soul realm Lord, who is called Satnam, or the true name, the true form of God. And that's the first real manifestation. All of the other realms beneath soul are actually illusory. They're reflections in time and space, and distorted reflections at that. But they're conditioned consciousness, but conditioned from positions less than enlightened. So that's why you want to move into the soul realm and go on beyond the soul realm, because that's the realm of truth. In fact, it's called Satchkhand, or the realm of the land of truth. So the students of the spiritual travelers will be introduced by their master teacher to each one of these great lords. And each one of them knows the traveler. The traveler will introduce you to that great lord, and the great lord will give you permission to travel through his realm, so to speak. And it's very, very, very interesting. So those are some of the wonderful things that you have to look forward to in these inner realms. There are many books by Paul Twitchell in Ekankar that describe some of these realms quite well, and from at least his perspective. So gradually, as you shift from the mental plane into the great etheric, or the great void, that sky blue deepens to a deep indigo, and the indigo gradually into purple, deep purple, and then violet. And everything that is not purified in the lower realms gets transmuted in that violet flame. And that's the realm that guards and protects the soul realm. Now, that's the realm that very often people think that they've merged with the great nothingness or the great void or the great nirvana. And this is the realm spoken of in Buddhism quite often. But actually, it's not the highest realm. It's the realm... True, it's the realm of mergence and eternal void, but we haven't come here to be in eternal voidness, but to be an eternal co-creator God essence or divine essence. So that is not the realm to stop at either. So always, no matter where you are, always ask to go to the next level. No matter who says, this is it, there's nothing higher, always say, yes, I know, and I ask permission to go beyond. And if you are up to your snuff to ask such a question, I'm sure you will be able to pass beyond. So here on the etheric realm, you'll hear the humming of many voices or the buzzing of many bees. And that's the sound one hears in the etheric realm. The experience of the etheric realm is often where you feel that sense of inner turning or vertigo or kind of a dizziness inside, or even of suddenly dropping down into your own inner self. You know, when you have the dreams of where you fall suddenly, that's usually when you're passing through the etheric realm on your way back to your body when you've been out of body. So in meditation, often you go unconscious. This is why you go unconscious, generally speaking, for a minute when you cross from wakefulness to sleep or when you go from the conscious level into meditation. Usually there's a place of unconsciousness, and that is the etheric realm. And many fall asleep at that point because nothing's there. You can't relate to something that's not there. So the way to pass through the causal, the etheric realm, is that you travel with the winged heart. It's like you allow your heart to have the wings of love and faith. And the love that you have for God, the love that you have for your master, carries you across the void, which then has a wonderful, wonderful feel to it because you really feel sustained by the love of God. And so one begins to see gradually as you transition into Satchkhand or the soul plane, you begin to see a brilliant gold flashing, like shimmering, radiant sparks, like fireworks of purest gold, gradually becoming a steady golden light and making everything appear golden, like translucent gold. The Bible mentions that in heaven there are streets of translucent gold. Well, this is what you'll see in the soul realm. And not only that, but you'll see gigantic lotuses of jewels and gigantic flowers that seem to be made of scintillating diamonds and jewels. The trees seem to be jewel trees. And even the structures seem to be embedded with precious jewels. So you have entered the golden kingdom of soul. And here the sound is similar to a single note of a flute or the rising and falling of alternate flute-like tones, which are so hauntingly lovely and captivating that the stories of the Pied Piper and the flute of Krishna, these are all metaphors of the captivating quality that is exhibited in this plane when the Lord blows on the flute of your inner self and woos you, spiritually speaking, into that higher state of divine consciousness. The realm of the soul is beautiful beyond description. It is one of pure bliss, ananda, and supreme love. And one beholds for the first time the true face of the Lord of Light, the most radiant one himself. Often he'll come like a light on the horizon. It gets brighter, 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 until you can barely look in and discern any kind of a form he is. So when he says, I am the light, and you see him as the light, wow. So everything there seems to be made of translucent, alive, spun, vibrant, radiant gold, shining and glowing with beauty. And anything that you wish from your heart, from your purest, pure state, instantly is present there for you. And all the higher desires of the soul, the spirit, the God essence that you are fulfilled there. So the state of the soul is one of supreme peace, liberation, freedom, and above all, fulfillment. You lack nothing. You have that fullness of Christ indwelling you. And you live in Christ, and Christ lives in you. And that is the glory to which we are returning, and the place from whence we have originally come before we embarked upon this journey of experience as a soul. So from this beautiful realm of soul, you came to Earth and other planets long, long ago in time. But in highest truth, you've never really left the soul, because the soul lives in the soul plane. The soul can extend awareness in any place it wishes, but it never leaves home. And that's why I often say, in highest truth, you've never left the heart of God. So the soul plane and the kingdom of heaven, again, are metaphors for that divine home, the capital H, that we all long to return to, and we all will. So the only beings on that level, of course, are those who have perfected their journey. Their journey has been completed and consummated in the lower realms, and thus they can live in that realm or go back and forth from that realm to be of service as they wish, because they're, at that point, totally free souls. Now, there are more levels beyond into the far country of the unmanifest God, realms which stretch into infinity. And that is some of the things that you have to look forward to. So now take a deep breath and clench your fists, which enable all of your multidimensional bodies to come back in a line. And you can yawn. That also brings all your subtle bodies back in. And you can chant H-U. That enables the balance to come back into your physical. Let's do it. H-U. And God evening, beloveds. God willing, I will be with you next week. Adonai.